I'm sure that you're aware that the season that we're in right now is a season that many of you are going to start receiving your instructions. Many of you are going to get what you've been waiting to hear for from the Lord about your calling, about instructions on fulfilling that call. And again, it's not just for the people that are sitting in front of me right now, but for those of you that are listening by the internet too. This applies to you just as much as it does the people in this room. And it's not based on a calendar. It's not based on we reached a certain day and all of a sudden now God's going to speak to us. It's based on the fact that you've given yourself over to Him. You've gone through the maturing process. And you've qualified yourself to be used by Him. It's an exciting time. Can everybody agree it's an exciting time? Can you all agree it's a scary time? Yeah. But it's the time you've been waiting for. Now, some of you say, well, you know, Mark, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm real sorry about that. Because, quite honestly, you really ought to know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you just haven't been listening. That's the truth of it. You just haven't been listening, you haven't been doing. Somewhere along the way, you became a hearer and not a doer. And I really feel sorry for you. And I hope that's not a hard... I don't believe it's a very large percentage of people. I think it's very small. But nevertheless, somewhere along the way you became a hearer and not a doer. You can change that. You don't have to stay that way. I don't care how long it's been. That prayer closet is still waiting for you. All you got to do... All you have to do is just start. And I really believe that in this time that we're in right now, that God will accelerate your growth if you'll just enter in. If you'll just enter in, He'll accelerate you and bring you up to speed. It won't take near as long as the devil's trying to tell you it will. Believe me, it won't take that long. It's just going to take a concerted effort on your part to do it. Amen. I think somewhere along the way, a few of us have been in that boat where we slacked off in prayer. And I've had a bite of that apple myself. But praise God, I just didn't stay there. I was there for a period of time, but I didn't stay. And I started putting one foot in front of the other and I walked out of it. And that's the same way with you. Just walk out of it. So for many of you, this is a time of graduation. And it's a time of promotion. And it's a time of getting your instructions. We're going to talk about that just a little bit today. Getting those instructions. I'm going to use... some of the things that happened in the life of a man named Moses to kind of bring out some of the points. I think some of the things that happened in his life, how the instructions that he received from the Lord, I think we can really learn some things about how God communicates with people, how he sets forth his plan, how sometimes he doesn't fill in all the details at the very beginning. I'm a detail kind of person. You know, I want to know the end from the beginning. And you know what? God's not like that. He's detailed, but he doesn't really care that you know the end from the beginning. His first instruction to you might seem a bit vague, but nevertheless, you have to respond. You can't just say, well, okay, God, I need a little bit more information than that. Can you give me a little bit more than that? That's not quite enough. I want to know a little bit more. Well, until you do what he first said to do, you may not hear anymore. That may just be all that he tells you until you obey in faith and step out and do what he first told you to do. So let's go to Exodus chapter 3. I'm not going to, you know, really give a lot of, we're not going to do a lot of discussion about all the events in Moses' life. You're all pretty familiar with what happened in Moses' life. You know how at the beginning, he was actually raised in Pharaoh's household and how fortunate he was and all of that. But then at one point, you know that he killed an Egyptian who is hurting an Israelite. And at that point, you know, we're starting to see something in Moses. Some of that deliverance qualities are starting to come out in his life. He's a young guy. I would say, if I had a word to describe him, I would say he's somewhat impetuous. I fell in that category at times when I was growing up. You get a sense of what it is that God wants you to do, and bless God, I can take care of this myself, Lord. Just step out of the way and let me go. But the end result was for Moses, you know, he killed a guy, and he took off running. Ran for his life. Found himself in the land of Midian. Came across a man by the name of Jethro and his daughters. And he just made life there. He just had life. He got his daughter, Jethro's daughter, Zipporah, made him his wife. Had a son. And he was just having life. Just doing, getting up in the morning, going out, taking care of the flock. Have kids. Going to work each day, coming home, watching TV a little bit, going to bed. He just did life. The only problem was God wasn't done with him. He hadn't even started with him yet. And I know for some of you, you know, there are some things that may have happened in your past. You got a little scared. Things didn't turn out quite the way you expected them to. As a result, you just kind of got on with life. God's not done with you right now. He's ready to start using you. And you know that. You know that. Something that I found over the last, probably about 6 months. 6 months I've really noticed this. Where there are things that have specifically happened in my life and in Debbie's life where it was only God. God met our need, or he did something in such a way that it was indescribable. It's God. This is God doing this. And slowly but surely, we have watched the hand of God move in different areas of our life. And there's a trust that has been established inside of me as a result of this, as a result of watching him. You know, we've put out our petitions and we've stood in faith for things. And we've watched those petitions, those requests manifest one by one. And there's a trust and a confidence that has resulted inside of me. And here he's stepping us into this place of being launched into ministry. And what am I looking at? As I turn around and look behind me, I'm looking at how he has come through here and how he's come through here and how he's done this and how he's done that. And there's no doubt in my mind that that's not just going to continue. It's going to continue. You see, I'm finding this out experientially. I'm finding out that God has wanted to bring me to this place, and he's wanted to show himself to me along the way. Because it's not about waking up one day, folks, and all of a sudden God says, okay, you go over there and do that. Somewhere in our minds, we think that's how God operates, and it's not. He wants you to get to know him. He wants you to know his ways. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to have a fellowship with him, have a confidence in him, so that when that time does arrive, there's something that's developed inside of you. There's something there. It's like Pastor Dave has taught us for years. His will in your life is that tree that grows up inside of you. And for many of you, like me, that tree is in full bloom right now. It's full bloom. You see that tree inside of you. There's no mistaking his will. It's full bloom. And I just want you to be encouraged in that fact right now. He's brought you to a place. He's brought you to this place. But he's done it step by step. And he showed you himself along the way. And he's gave you experiences with him. And you've seen some things happening along the way. He's showing you who he is and how he's going to take care of you. That gives me great confidence. I don't know about you, but I'm excited in knowing that he's going to take care of me. I'm excited knowing that I can trust him, that what he's been doing, he's going to continue to do. Amen? So we look at Moses in Exodus 3. Now Moses, verse 1, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. We'll stop there. So what do we see first of all? He hears his voice. He sees the bush. At first he sees the bush burning. He stops, looks at it. God speaks to him. He hears his voice. He recognizes that this is God. Of all the things that I've learned from this ministry is hearing God's voice. That was the one thing from the very beginning that I wanted to know his voice. And really, before hearing the message here, nobody could really tell me how to hear the voice of God. And I wonder how many people across this world, in churches, Christians, still have no idea how to hear the voice of God. How sad. You know, that's terrible. Because God wants to speak to us. So that's the first thing that, one of the first things that I really received from this ministry was how to hear his voice. Now, I'm not perfect with it. And you're not going to be perfect with it. Nobody is. Nobody is. But like Gary said the other night, just make enough trips to the barbershop at 2 in the afternoon and figure out this is God and that's not God. Figure it out. I've made plenty of trips there. But slowly but surely over the years, I'm learning, and I'm still learning, how to hear His voice. How to know that it's Him speaking to me. And for a lot of you, that's where you're at. You're learning His voice. You've been learning His voice. You've been in that school. And now it's time to get those instructions. This is what it's all about. That's why you want to hear. So that you can hear Him say, go do this, go do that. That's what it's about. You want fellowship with Him, and you want the instructions to go out and fulfill the call that you have on your life. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to miss it. I know what that feels like. I deal a lot with perfectionism, trying to always be perfect. And you can't be. It is not possible. You will not always be perfect. And at times I struggle with that because I want everything to be exactly right, and it won't be. Just face it. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Things are going to happen. You're going to miss it. But what we can't do, we can't allow that to be the reason that we never do anything. Amen? We just can't allow the enemy to use that to be the reason that we never step out because we're afraid of being wrong. He'll use that. He'll use that card as long as you let Him. And it's not going to be just one time of you hearing Him and stepping out that's going to be the answer for you. It's going to be a series of stepping out. It's going to be a series of experiences with Him where you hear Him speak to you and you respond and you know that it's Him. It's building on those experiences where you can look back. That's one of the best things to me is the ability to look back and see, yes, God, I see where You led me here and I see the result. And I see where You led me here and I see the result. Those are the things that builds confidence in your walk with Him. And how many times when we get into those tight spots do we just completely forget about how He's led us up to this point? And I'm going to tell you, the one thing the enemy wants you to do is to question every decision that you made that brought you to that place. If he can get you questioning, he can get you walking backwards, and he's got you on your heels. Look back in confidence and know, You led me here, God, and I see the fruit of it. You led me here, and I see the fruit of it. So God approaches Moses, and we see Him first identifying Himself, showing Him who He is. Not just saying, okay, Moses, go free those people. Go do it. That's not God. God's in a fellowship, a relationship. And out of that grow the things that we do for Him. It isn't just that we're puppets and He says, go do this, go do that. It's that fruit of a relationship that we have with Him, where we spend time with Him. Where we know His heart. We know His voice. And from that, we know and He says, go do this, go do that. It's much different than what was in my mind at the beginning when I first tried to answer the call. It's much different. It's a fruit of being with Him. Of just loving Him. And out of that love, that I have for Him, I want to serve. I want to go and minister to people out of that love. And that's not what the way it was at the beginning. But I see that more and more in my life now. Where I stand up here, and when I speak to you, I'm not speaking to you like just students in a classroom. I'm speaking to you as you are the children of God. He loves you. I love you. What's important is your success. That's why we do this. To see you succeed. It's not about anything else but that. Let's go back to Moses. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hivites, or the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10, this is the important one. Here's the instructions. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Okay, stop there. What do we know? First of all, we have a specific place, specific person. We have some specifics here. We're not speaking in vague generalities. When God's giving His instructions, He is being specific to us. Now, I'm not saying that He's going to give you all the details. But what I'm saying is we have some specifics. He's telling him right here, come thou therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Okay, we'll stop there. So what do we have? We have a location. Where is he going? He's going into Egypt. Who's he going to deal with? Who's he going to talk to? He's going to talk to Pharaoh. What's he going to do? He's going to deliver the people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. That's pretty good instructions, I would say. I think that's pretty good. You know, and what I like about it is the fact that, you know, God's giving him the plan. Now, like I said, and I want to get into this, this is the crux of the message, is the fact of what he doesn't tell Moses. I mean, we're going to get into the details of that. The things that he doesn't tell Moses. But I want you to appreciate for a minute. I want you to appreciate what he does tell Moses. He's specific. Here are the people, the Israelites. Here's the guy that you're going to deal with, Pharaoh. Here's what you're going to do. Go there. Talk to the man. We're going to get the people out. It reminds me of the mission trip that the first time that I went to Ukraine. It was 1994. I don't remember how old I was. 30-something. And I'd been praying daily for months, hours a day. And I went to bed one night, and it was late. Debbie and I were married. All of a sudden, I woke up out of a deep sleep. The Lord said, I want you to go in, turn the TV on. I want you to watch something. So I walked in. Turned the TV on, sat down. It was 12:30. And if I remember correctly, they were replaying whatever they had on the 7 o'clock show from that night. And I watched that. And there's a man by the name of Bill Bozanski. And he was starting a school in Kiev, Ukraine. And it was a school to teach ministers. And he went into all the detail about how the government was working with them and how many students it was going to be and how he needed people to teach. And right then the Lord said, I want you to go teach there. Clear as a bell. I knew where I was going. I knew what he wanted me to do. 2.5 months later, I was stepping off of a plane in Russia or in Ukraine, ready to teach. Just like that. Now, there were some things along the way, you know, some things about money, about buying plane tickets, about getting a visa, about doing all the nitty-gritty things that I wasn't aware of at the beginning. But I knew where I was going and I knew what I was doing. And I went and did that. And that's how God works. That's how he worked in my life. Saw fruit from it. You get the instructions. You find out what he wants you to do. Don't jump out until you get them. And as I said earlier, watch and see how he's working in your life. You know, if you walk up to me and you started praying in tongues 2 weeks ago and you say, well, God spoke to me and he said, go to Africa and sell all I got and go there and minister. I'm going to say, you probably need to go check that and sit down and pray a lot longer than that. A lot longer than that. Because there's a time of maturing and development that needs to take place in your life. There's a time of listening, hearing his voice, seeing him work in different areas. There's a time of that tree growing up inside of you and seeing the fruit in full bloom and knowing that this is God, knowing this is his voice. And there should be other people around you that are godly people that you can trust, that can see this happening in your life, that you can look to and they can say, "That I see that. It's evident. It's evident." I'm not saying go to everybody. I'm not saying go to the people that are flaky. Don't ask the flaky folks. Don't ask the people that have wishy-washy walks. Because you want to hear their answer. Let's go back here and look again. And he said, verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. Oh, let's go back to verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? What did Gary say? Get over yourself. Get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about him working through you. He's the one that called you. He's the one that's going to speak through you. It's not about you making this happen. It's about you yielding to him and allowing him to flow through you. Moses didn't wake up one day and said, I think I'm going to go deliver Egypt out of Pharaoh's hands. No. God had picked him to do this. God spoke to him, instructed him, sent him out. He didn't send himself. He didn't do it in his own power. He actually fought with God because he felt inadequate, because he couldn't speak properly. I think he actually aggravated God at one point. If you really look at it, it gives you the impression that Moses actually aggravated God, because God's sitting here telling Moses, look, Moses, I'm the one that created the mouth. I'm the one that will speak through you. Just surrender yourself to me and let me do it. And he still required Aaron. But God in his mercy let him take Aaron with him and be the mouthpiece. But it's not you. It's not your plan. It's not your call. You didn't call yourself. He called you. And he's the one that will perform it. He's the one that will work through you. He's the one that will speak through your words, through your mouth. All he's asking you to do is prepare yourself and yield yourself. Prepare for being used. And then when it's time to step up there, just simply yield. Surrender yourself. Allow him to put his words in your mouth. Allow him to speak. Now here are the things. As God gave the instructions, the things that God didn't happen to mention. Let's go on and read here a couple of more verses. Go down to verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites. I wish they could have just had regular names. And the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. So, we'll stop there. Now look, he's saying, go to these elders and say this to them. Go to these people and tell them, God sent me here. He did? Yes, God sent me here. It does startle people when you start telling them that God speaks to you. It startles them. You know, when you tell someone, and I've told people, like where I work at, I've told them, God talked to me. God told me this. They look at you like you're from another planet. They really do. I don't know why. They look like you are just stark raving mad. But you're the right one. Grab hold of this. You're the right one. They're the ones that are just oblivious. But how come you feel so stupid? So Moses, I want you to go to the elders and I want you to tell them that I sent you. You tell them that God sent you to do this. Now fortunately, he sent Moses with a rod. And that rod would do some pretty wild things. Some things that they could not dispute. But I don't want you to, don't draw back when God tells you to do something, whatever it is, however crazy it is. Don't draw back. Have confidence. And go do what he said to do. No matter what they how they look at you, no matter what they think in their minds. Moses was there to help them. Moses was there to set them free. They looked at him like he was from another planet. Now here's the things that God, one of the first thing that God didn't happen to mention to Moses. See, if you look in the next verse here, it says, in verse 18, and they shall hearken to thy voice, And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness. God said, they're going to hearken to you. They're going to listen to you. What did he not mention? Well, he didn't happen to mention the fact that once they went to Pharaoh and gave him this news, that Pharaoh was going to say, okay, I want you to increase the workload on the Israelites. And I want you to take the straw from them. And I want you to make them go. And I want you to make them gather the straw themselves. God didn't mention that. He didn't happen to mention that there was going to be any resistance like that. Now, he did say that Pharaoh was going to say no and there's going to be some problems, but he wasn't real specific in the resistance. He didn't happen to mention that the people that he was going to go deliver, that the fact that he brought this message was going to bring on such pain from the enemy. He didn't mention that. And I would have to imagine that Moses would have appreciated a little foresight on that. God, you didn't even talk about this. Why? Why does God leave out some of the details? Because you'd run. He gets you into a place where it's too late to run. Now what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? There's no place to run. You're standing in front of Pharaoh and he's telling them, increase the workload. Take the straw away from him. God, I wasn't expecting this. Why didn't you tell me? Why? So you can make another plan? Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. Planning to fail. It's the title of this message. Planning to fail. The alternate plans that we make. The alternate ones in case God's plan fails. In case God's plan looks a little too hard. I've got this side journey that I can take. This little escape route. That's why some of those nitty-gritty little details are left out. He doesn't want you to have any time to think about all those alternate little plans about if this doesn't work, what about this? If that doesn't work, maybe I'll go this way. No, you're going to be standing right in front of Pharaoh. He's going to be saying, we're going to do this and this and this. And there you are. And there it is. Are you going to trust God or not? That wasn't the only time. That was just one of the times. He didn't happen to mention that before they left Egypt, all the firstborn were going to be killed. That's one of those little details that might have been worth mentioning at the beginning. But why? What's it going to change? You knowing that at the beginning. What's that going to change? You knowing how hairy the situation is going to be. What's that going to change? Nothing. His word is still the same. His instructions are still the same. No matter how difficult it gets, they're not changing. So why do you care if you know how bad it's going to get? He's still going to say, this is what I said to you. Go do it. Whew. I didn't know it was going to be like this. Then there was this other little detail. And I think probably of all the little details that God left out of this instruction, this one last little detail might have been, for me, pretty important. When you're going out of Egypt, when you're on the other side, he didn't say anything about a Red Sea. There was no mention about the Red Sea. I want to show you this. This was really enlightening for me. Verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Well, that's nice to know. See, at least he told him that. Okay? At least he told him that. I'm pretty sure that the king of Egypt, he's not going to let you go. I'm sure, pretty sure of that. Not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he's going to let you go. After I stretch out my mighty hand and do all these wonders, he's going to let you go. Okay? And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in the house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. Now, if I heard that, what did he tell me right there? What did God say? He said, if he's going to let you go, I'm going to do these signs and these wonders, and then he's going to let you go. Oh, and by the way, you're going to leave after spoiling their goods. Oh, okay. That's not bad. We're not going to leave empty-handed. Of course, when we get in the wilderness, what are we going to spend it on anyway? Then it's, you know, who thinks ahead? But that doesn't sound bad. He's going to let us go. And then we're going to leave having spoiled the Egyptians. But what about that sea? I didn't see anything mentioned about that Red Sea. Nor did I see anything mentioned when he said he's going to let you go. I don't think I saw anything in there about chariots, horses, soldiers, mounted, chasing me. He left that out too. So God forgot, or he just decided not to tell Moses, as you're leaving Egypt, Pharaoh's going to have his men, and they're going to be nipping at your heels. And you're going to come to a point where there's going to be no place to run. You're going to have the Red Sea in front of you, and you're going to have certain destruction behind you. You're going to feel the breath of those horses on your heels, and you're going to be looking at that Red Sea, and there's going to be no place to go, and there's only going to be one place for you to look, and that place is to me. And I will open that sea, and you will walk through on dry land. But you're only going to know that, Moses, when you're standing there and you part that sea with that rod. That's the only time that you're going to know it. You're not going to know it a minute before then. You're not going to know it a day before then. You're going to know it when you're standing there and you're doing it. And it parts and you walk across and you're on dry ground and you're getting to the other side and you're watching the destruction of your enemy, because I am God. And the I am is the one that sent you. When you go there, you tell them that it is the I am that has sent you. And that's all that they need to know. And Moses, that's all that you need to know. That's it. And your soulish man says, I want more information than that. Tell me a little bit more. Can it really be that easy, God? All you said was they're going to let us go. Is it really that easy? And your mind just starts wondering and wondering and thinking and pondering and meditating on it. Tell me more. Tell me more. Because if I were Moses, I would want to have plan B when I'm sitting in front of that Red Sea. Some boats or something. Where's plan B at? Where's the alternate route? Is there a bridge anywhere close by? Is there anything? Can you all relate to what I'm saying? Can anybody relate? That's how we are. That's how our soul is. Hey, I know. He's dealing with me. I know. In my spirit, I have perfect peace. When I don't really think about anything, it's perfect peace. If I stop and I start thinking about what he's saying to me, there it goes. Feels like he's going to... My wife said, don't say that anymore. There go the thoughts. There goes your mind. Wondering, thinking, pondering. What about this? What about that? What are you going to do here, Lord? What are you going to do there, Lord? Is he not God? I mean, really. Think about it. Think about when he's talking to Moses, and Moses is frustrated and asking him about the tongue and can't speak. Am I not God that made your tongue? Come on, Moses. We forget who he is. It's as simple as that. We just forget who he is. We get our eyes. I get my eyes on the circumstances. And I forget he's God. And if all else fails in my obedience to him, if all else fails, if they kill me, I get to be with him. I win. It's a no-lose proposition here. No-lose. If you die, you're with him. There's no losing here. I'm not leaving here till I'm done doing what he said to do, though. They won't take my life. I will finish my course. I will do what he said. I thank God for Moses. I thank God that he did it. He was the man. He was the right man at the right place, at the right time, just as you are. Just as you are. We teach you to pray in tongues. Why? So that you're at the right place, at the right time, doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's what this message is about. Hear me. This message, it's about doing. It's not about hearing. It's about doing. I see a picture right in my mind right now. Picture is, we're sitting here. We're sitting in our chairs. Fully, that's my chair. Fully equipped. I'm talking the latest artillery, everything. We're sitting here. We're loaded to the gills. And all he's got to do is say, go. And you're ready to go. Hey, you've got the funding of the God who created everything. Where can't you go? What can't you do? Oh yeah, I'm going to have to listen to this myself. Yes, I will. Because there are times that he's going to hit me. He's going to try and twist me and turn me and get me to scream and cry. And God, you didn't tell me this was ahead of me. You left this little detail out, God. You didn't tell me there was a Red Sea out there. Who knew? But you're God. And if it takes parting the Red Sea again, you're going to do that for me. If it takes parting it to answer what you told me to do, then that thing's parting. Can I hear an amen? Did you get anything today? Amen. Be blessed.